the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From the lesson in Matthew chapter 2, we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. They fell down and worshiped him and presented their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And from the lesson in Mark 1, as Jesus is baptized, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening, the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We are in the season of Epiphany. This is a blessed season. Blessed because we live in a world that is filled with darkness, shrouded with darkness and unbelief and violence and wickedness. St. Matthew, John Mark, and Paul today in the lessons call us to walk in the light of Christ, not just during Epiphany, but at all times, as we await his final appearing. Now, this past Tuesday was Epiphany, January 6th, the 12th day of Christmas, and we and all Christians celebrated the coming of the Magi to the Christ. In a sense, Epiphany is our Christmas, for as Gentiles, he comes for us as the light of all the nations. We are those Magi who fall down and worship him. And we are in the season of Epiphany this year till February 15th, which is Transfiguration Sunday, Christ appearing in glory on the mountain. And did you realize there's four events, important events in this season that are wonderful in the life of Jesus and in our lives? Epiphany celebrates the star, the light, the Magi coming, the Gentile nations coming to the Christ. Secondly, Epiphany celebrates the voice of God the Father from heaven as Jesus is being baptized. "You are my beloved Son. I am well pleased in you." The third event of Epiphany is the glory of Jesus in his first miracle at Cana at the wedding, changing the water to wine. And the culmination of Epiphany is Transfiguration Sunday, the brightness of his face shining in glory for both the Old Testament and New Testament church to see. So during this Epiphany season, and today, we focus on both the Epiphany of our Lord, the baptism of our Lord, and our baptismal identity connected to Jesus, like the vicar explained to the children this morning from Romans chapter 6. So let's begin first with the great event of the Epiphany of our Lord, read at the beginning of the service from Matthew chapter 2. This spectacular drama, this miraculous star, was a historical nexus in time where God planned to meet at this crossroad in both Jerusalem and Bethlehem for us to see the light in the midst of darkness. The persons involved in Epiphany are well known to us. You have Jesus now as a young child in the house. You have Herod the Great, the king who built many buildings in Israel, but was a wicked and violent man. You have the wise men, the Magi from the east, perhaps from Persia or from Arabia, and all the people in Jerusalem who are excited about the announcement that one who has been born king of the Jews. You have the chief priests and the scribes who open up the Old Testament and find out in the prophet Micah that the Christ is to be born in Bethlehem of the line of Judah. The tribe of Judah was the line of which the Christ would come. And you have Mary, Jesus' mother, in the house. The reason why they and we bow down and worship him is that this child is true man, but he is also true God. Did you realize that the three gifts they bring of gold and frankincense and myrrh show the threefold office of our Lord as prophet, priest, and king? Gold is brought to him because he is the King of Kings. Frankincense is brought to him because he's a priest. And when the priest prayed by the temple and lit the incense as he prayed, the fragrance went up. He is our intercessor and our high priest. And myrrh is for Jesus as a prophet. For just as the wise men brought the myrrh to Jesus, who had just lately been laid in a manger and wrapped in a swaddling cloth, so after Jesus' crucifixion, when Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus come and the women come, Jesus lately had been laid in a stone tomb wrapped in a linen cloth, and they also brought myrrh, that ointment for a body. Indeed, our Lord Jesus Christ, who appeared in light and is the light of the world, came not just to be the young child, but to be the sacrificial lamb, the substitute, who would die in our place and be our righteousness, our justification, and our redemption. Do you need Jesus' light in your life? If you look around you, you see darkness in your own life. You see darkness in the lives of people around you. We see all the darkness and the violence again as we read the papers this week. The world has no light because the world is living in spiritual darkness. When you come to church, you are coming here to receive light, to have your eyes opened by Jesus Christ. If he is the light of the world, because you are connected to him by faith, that light is inside of you and emanates from you. If you need light in the midst of a dark world, you will only find it in Jesus. Jesus, the light of all the Gentile nations. He is the light of the world. Secondly, as we consider during Epiphany the baptism of our Lord that was just read in Mark chapter 1, we see another spectacular event here, the revelation of all three persons of the Trinity. You've got Jesus, the man, in the water being baptized, the Spirit coming down as a dove, and the voice of the Father, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Water, Word, the Holy Trinity. The persons involved in this spectacular event, of course, are John the Baptist, who had been preaching in all the country of Judea, and also the people from Nazareth up in Galilee came to hear him preach, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, even though he says that he comes before Jesus, because he was born 6 months before Jesus, and Jesus comes after John. Jesus is mightier than John because Jesus is the Son of God in eternity before he was ever incarnate of the Virgin Mary. And John says, "I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals," which is the job of a servant. When Jesus is anointed by the Holy Spirit in his baptism as the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, here we see that he, true man, to fulfill all righteousness, is becoming the new Adam, if you will. He didn't have any sin, so he had no need of baptism. But he came into the water as our substitute. He is the new man, the new Adam. And as he obeys God and comes into these waters to fulfill all righteousness, there we see all of us there with him in that water. When the Spirit descends upon him like a dove, reminding us of the dove that came back with the olive branch to Noah and the ark, the Holy Spirit brings peace through Jesus, and then the voice proclaims from the Heavenly Father, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." At Transfiguration, he will say, "Listen to him." Before I ask you if you want light in the midst of darkness, do you need forgiveness? Are you ashamed of the things in your past known only to you and God? There's a reason why we begin the service confessing our sin and hearing absolution. Jesus is and wants to be your mediator, for he was baptized in righteousness for you. Bring all of your sins and drop them at Jesus' feet, and let him be your righteousness, your mediator, your redeemer. And lastly, lest we turn this event into just these events, into just two historical accounts of the Magi and Jesus' baptism, what is the reality of both of these events for you and for me? There's a reason why on the Sunday of the baptism of our Lord, the lesson is from Romans chapter 6, which to me is one of the most powerful places in the whole New Testament about our baptismal identity with Jesus. Jesus died once for all, the completed sacrifice. In him we are justified before God the Father through faith in his name. But in holy baptism, you are connected to Jesus' death and his burial and his resurrection. This is actually called in theology the mystical union, something beyond our understanding, but a beautiful mystery. Indeed, Paul said, as we also say in the Catechism, because of our baptism into Jesus, the light of the world, we can drown the old Adam when we get up in the morning. When you get up in the morning and wash your face, and you see the water running down your face, remember, the old Adam is to be drowned and the new man come forth in holy baptism. That's what Paul said. He says, our old self is crucified, brought to nothing. We used to be slaves to sin under the dominion of death. But now, because grace abounds, in Christ Jesus, buried and raised with him, we die with him, we live with him. We walk in newness of life. We bring forth the glory of the Father. We've been set free from sin, Paul says. We live with Christ. If we died with him, we will live with him. Death has no more dominion over us. Think about that. Death has no more dominion over us. Every time I, as a pastor, stand at a graveside and see one of our beloved members lowered down into the hole in the ground in the casket, I rejoice that death has no dominion over us. This one in our congregation has gone to be with Jesus and all the saints, and their body will be raised incorruptible on the last day. Death has no dominion over you. And did you realize that if death has no more dominion over you, then there's nothing else that can either? You don't have to be afraid of anything. Death is the worst of all. So if you don't have to be afraid of death, you don't have to be afraid of anything. Death has no dominion over you. That's why Paul says, consider yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. In conclusion, Jesus is the eternal light and our baptismal life. Your identity is your connection to Christ. That identity shapes everything. It shapes who you are and how you live. Let us walk in the baptismal life of the Son of God and walk in the light. My goodness, the darkness is everywhere. But rejoice that though we're surrounded by death and destruction and darkness, we live in life and light and salvation. The light around us in God's splendor, the life and salvation that we have is the light that comes only from Jesus. So during this month of Epiphany, and of course beyond, let us, because of Christ, the light of the world, walk in the light and the life of Jesus Christ, to the glory of his name. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.